to the greatest show in sport.
The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
Are we contractually obligated to put the Cowboys in our top five power rankings this week? Find out in a second. Here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. And we are going to be out in person on Friday, the Firehouse Tour. I almost said the franchise. The franchise, Eric Chiafalo, will be there. The Firehouse Tour continues with Chiafalo joining the morning show. Denton Fire Station number 3, 1401 Underwood Street in Denton, and we have a brand new giveaway.
Yeah, we do. Should we tell everybody what it is?
Yeah.
We did yesterday.
The insulated coolers, baby. The little lunch coolers. The strap on them. Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour on it. Very cool. I think Bobby's already taken one home.
I did. I snatched one. Yeah, they're those like those little like lunch coolers you take out there with the little zip and the insulation. They are very cool, and we'll have G-bag flags and breakfast. It's going
to
be great.
100 tacos at least to go ahead and feed you. That's Friday. Sean and RJ on the road with Chiafalo joining us. Denton Fire Station number 3, 1401 Underwood Street. Okay, how did we do last week with the power rankings? This is where you text us the best in the NFL, 1 through 5 or 5 through 1.
All right, here we go. Sean, you had Minnesota at 1.
Buckets.
They're on a bye week. Oh, right?
That's a bucket.
Kansas City at 2. They were also, they're on their bye now. Baltimore at 3.
Check.
Detroit at 4.
Barely a check.
And Washington at 5.
Eh.
No, you get credit.
It's a tie. Ooh. You get the 3, or so what, you're 3-0-1 or 2-0-1?
Well, do you count the bye? Yeah, whatever. The
buys are just nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so undefeated.
So basically undefeated.
Yeah. Thank you.
Robert?
Yeah.
Minnesota 1, Detroit 2, Kansas City 3. This is where you screwed up.
I know.
Washington 4, and Baltimore 5.
1-2.
Man, that felt like a little longer buzz right there.
It was a double buzz.
It was a double buzz.
So do you lose Baltimore as well because you had the behind washes or you get credit?
Yeah, no, they're both losses.
Oh.
Oh!
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton,
hands down.
Kansas City 1.
You and Jerry can catch
him. Yep. Peyton had Kansas City number 1, Minnesota 2, Detroit, Baltimore, and Washington.
Yep. There you go.
So what's that?
I wasn't even listening. I don't listen to his football opinions. It's like Jerry with us.
Undefeated.
Same as yours. I had...
Like Jerry with us. The Tribunal. We should rename our show The Tribunal.
Oh, it's a great one. The Tribe has spoken.
Tribunal. Yeah, the Yahoos. The Yahoos.
The Yahoos.
I still think it's the Yahoos.
I think Yahoos is... Yeah, you're right. It's
that sounds like something you'd hear growing up in Jersey. Like Yins. Yins guys.
Yinzers. And then I had Kansas City at 1, Minnesota 2. Detroit 3, Baltimore 4, and Green Bay at 5.
Okay.
So no ties for me.
Did you go undefeated?
I did, yeah.
RJ Choppy, sitting atop the power rankings. Where are the Cowboys around the country?
ESPN has them 15th, and that's about as generous as it gets.
Ooh,
because you've got The Athletic at 16th, NFL.com. Throwing them all the way down at 19th. Everybody pretty much has them sitting right now between 15 and 20.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a difference, though, outside of the Cowboys nationally. We're starting to see a charge for Minnesota. People are starting to break from the RJ Choppy theory. In fact, The Athletic had the Kansas City Chiefs 4th in their power rankings.
And most others have them
1 or 2. There's a big push for
Minnesota.
Just
now?
Yeah.
Okay. People wanted to, like Choppy, wait and see to buy.
Detroit and Baltimore started kind of shifting things for Kansas City with their wins this weekend.
How did the wide receiver trades affect odds? Devontae Adams traded for a 3rd. It becomes a 2nd if he, I don't know if it's all pro or Pro Bowl. Can someone confirm that for me? If he gets named to one of the all whatever teams, or if the Jets make the AFC Championship, a 2nd will go to the Raiders. Right now, it's a 3rd. I'm going to guess that it stays a 3rd round pick. And then yesterday, to make Jerry Jones' day even worse, Amari Cooper gets traded to the Buffalo Bills in a move I love for Buffalo for a 3rd round pick 2 years after the Cowboys got a 5th and a 6th to send him to Cleveland. 2 years older, a pick two picks, two rounds better.
The conditions really quickly on the Davante Adams. If he's a first or second team All-Pro, or if he's on the active roster with the team playing in the AFC Championship.
Okay. The Jets went from 20-1 to 18-1 to win the AFC. Okay, so their odds are from like plus 155 to plus 145. The Bills moved up to fifth. They moved up to fifth, and they were somewhere in the 7-9 range, depending on where you got them from. So they move up to fifth to win the Super Bowl.
And you said Aiden Hutchins' injury did not change Detroit?
Didn't change their...
point line?
Their point line yet. Yeah, so now it will when... when it comes out that all three defensive ends they have on their team, their two stars and a backup, are going to miss a game, because that will really, really change it. But it hasn't changed their Super Bowl odds yet, because I also think that they're projecting, and this is Vegas just protecting themselves, they're projecting that Detroit's going to make a move, whether they go trade for Hassan Reddick or Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or whoever.
All right, let's fly around the room then. 1-5, 5-1. Choppy, start off at... five.
At number five here.
You guys struggle with these at all?
No.
No, not at all. I have at five the Green Bay Packers. I think the NFC North is easily the best division in the sport. All four they're 4-2 or better. And those two losses the Packers have by a combined 7 points.
Mm.
So they lost by what, two and then five. So I think they're a tremendous football team, and I expect them to be in the mix for the NFC North the entire way.
And by the way, that Jordan Love contract is looking totally fine right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Totally fine. Bob, go ahead.
First, really quickly to that point about the NFC North, the four teams in the NFC North are the four leaders in the NFC in point differential.
Really?
They are the top four in point differential that entire division.
Wow.
Number five for me is the Houston Texans creep their way back in after a beatdown of the New England Patriots. That's not necessarily a super impressive victory, but we were style pointing a little bit with Houston to start this year. It's like, we want to see you kill some of these teams. You got beat down by Minnesota, and then you were kind of squeaking by in others. So it was nice to see them finally kind of take hold and really dominate a game. They've got Joe Mixon back. They've got Tank Dell back. The pass rush for Houston is so impressive. I think the Texans are a good long-term shot, and so I've got the Texans at five.
And you want fun? This is a measuring stick, in my opinion. The armpit versus the Packers this weekend.
Ooh. In Lambeau.
At Lambeau. Pepe!
I'm copying Bobby here. I have the Houston Texans at number five. They were in my top five early on. They had lost to, I believe, the Vikings, but now I have them back in. They're waiting for Nico Collins to get back from the IR. Once they get him back, they're going to be really, really good.
I'm really struggling here between three teams. I really am. I just made my decision. I'm putting the Commanders at five.
Okay.
I thought about it.
I'm putting the Commanders
at... You had them there, right? You're keeping them there.
I thought about two other teams here, but I think that was a nice showing in Baltimore. Even though the Ravens went ahead and won that game, I'm going to keep the Commanders at five.
It's a win-loss, right? That's what old Galloway called it, a win-loss.
Mm-hmm. Barometer.
Yeah.
A little barometer game. Sure. Four.
Number four for me, I have the Baltimore Ravens. That is four straight victories since their slow start. They looked very good in them. They put it to the Cowboys. They put it to Buffalo. And the final score last week was, what, 27-20?
30-23.
They were up 27-13 in the third. In that game against Washington. I think the score is a little bit not indicative necessarily of the game. I think Baltimore is tremendous. Give me them a four.
Number four, by the way, I got to adjust the note again. They're not, the NFC North's not just top four in the NFC, it's top four in the NFL. They have the best point differential in the NFL. Number four for me, I'm like the Athletic, baby. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at number four for me.
Oh, man.
You dropped them?
I don't believe them. Yeah. Look, I mean, you're going to drop Texas after they win against Mississippi State. I can drop Kansas City on a bye week. They didn't even do anything. But, no, it's just there were more impressive victories on the schedule this week that were enough. It was already close for me last week, and there was an impressive enough victory that, to me, it pushed somebody up. So I've got Kansas City down to four.
It's easy. The Chicago Bears are number four. I'm joking. They're close, though. They're close to my top five. They're 4-2 now. They're in last place, but that NFC North is really, really good. No, it's the Baltimore Ravens for me. I thought about messing with number three and dropping Detroit. I took in factor the Aiden Hutchinson injury.
Could you imagine winning 47-9 and getting dropped?
But I have the Ravens at number four.
I have to admit something.
You forgot somebody?
I forgot the Lions.
Well, you dropped them before last week.
Boy.
I have to adjust.
Jerry's propaganda worked.
I have to adjust. I have to bump the Commanders out. I have to put Green Bay at five. My apologies. Okay. I forgot. Look, I'm going to deal with a lot, all right? I'm getting my balls cut today. I'm getting snipped.
It's today's the day.
Yeah,
back-to-back days. Huh?
I'm nervous. About my vasectomy, Mike Bassett with my stutter.
Interesting pants color that you chose on a day you're going to be bleeding.
Well, I assume, man, I hope it's not. Shut up. Amanda, bring me some shorts. So five, I have Green Bay, and I am going to have the Lions at four because of Hutchinson's injury. I took up enough time being a moron. Back to you.
Number three, I have Detroit. The only reason I didn't put them ahead of Minnesota is the way we do this on the point scale. This is a little game I'm playing here because they play next week.
Cheating.
And I made no mistake about it. I want to be right. But Detroit, make no mistake, Bobby, is a much better team than Minnesota. On a neutral field, they win by double digits over Minnesota.
Woo!
But they're playing this game in Minnesota. Minnesota's had a lot of home games. They had Houston at home. They had San Fran at home. So, but give me Detroit at three.
Boy, you are just tempting fate with this with the Minnesota Vikings here. Number three is the Baltimore Ravens. So I had Baltimore just behind. It was Washington, then Baltimore last week. Baltimore getting that victory over Washington. Those two are already close to me to where Kansas City was because I just don't believe in what Kansas City's doing right now. And so Baltimore, to me, just sneaks up ahead of them. You mentioned they played really well. They have. They're one area they will start slipping late. Let leads go. They are not a great finishing team. And so that's one little area of concern.
And I left the Lions at number three for me as well.
All right, I'm going to go Baltimore at three. And there's a lot of people trying to make the case. They're playing the best football in the NFL. I'm surprised you guys had them at like four. But there are people ratcheting up Lamar MVP again. And Baltimore playing the best football. Ravens are three for me. Power rankings on 105 through the Fan.
I have Minnesota at two. Like I said, all their games at the beginning of the year at home up against the big team, San Fran, Houston, now Detroit. But they're going to win this week. That's a very good home ice advantage they have in Minnesota. So that's nice. Yeah, it's tremendous. So I think they win this week, so I have them at two.
Number two for me is the Detroit Lions. And I thought about bumping them up a little bit, especially because of just how dominant they were across the board. But my number one team, there's not been enough movement there. So I got Detroit at number two.
Minnesota number two for me. It's 1A, 1B for Kansas City, Minnesota. But Minnesota is at home this weekend against the Lions, which I do think they take the victory there.
I'll go Chiefs 2, Vikings 1. So just to reset my NFL power rankings, Vikings 1, Kansas City 2, Baltimore 3, Lions 4, Green Bay 5.
I got Kansas City 1, Minnesota 2, Detroit 3, Baltimore 4, Green Bay 5.
I've got Houston 5, Kansas City 4, Baltimore 3, Detroit 2, and then I have the 1995 Dallas Cowboys as the number one team in the NFL. What they did in 1995 was so impressive. It just resonates 30 years later.
I mean,
It's the Minnesota Vikings.
They managed it better than anybody else that year.
It's the Minnesota Vikings.
Kansas City 1, Minnesota 2, Detroit 3, Baltimore 4, Houston 5.
The best team in DFW did it again last night. The audio of the week before Jerry was what happened in the NBA. You have to hear this, and we'll chop it up as the Hump Day Edition continues on the Fan.
Johnston scores! Perfection! In the shootout! On the homestand! For the season so far! And the Stars outlast the Sharks 3-2.
Victory plus. How's everyone doing with that so far? Any early feedback? I think Spittle had some problems like rewinding and fast forwarding. He was telling us about the other day.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't like had to use that part of the function yet. Like, it's not anything where I've had to like go back with it. But when I've checked in on it, it's been really smooth. There hasn't been any crashes. It looks clean. So, I mean, I like it.
When you don't lose, it's really tough to have a problem with the app. It really is. They're a juggernaut.
Woo!
And they are, there's a reason why a lot of people picked them to win the cup this year. And at the very least, that is their expectation. You know, we talked yesterday about the Cowboys' standard versus expectation.
Yeah.
The Stars' expectation is absolutely to win the cup.
So in Vegas, right before the season kicked off, the favorite to play in the Stanley Cup, if you want to predict the matchup, you don't even have to predict the winner, Panthers-Oilers, 28-1.
That's what I had.
Panthers-Stars is 38-1. So the Stars are up there close. It goes Panthers-Oilers, Oilers-Devils, Oilers-Hurricanes, Edmonton-Rangers, Edmonton-Leafs. Then Stars-Panthers, Stars-Devils, Stars-Hurricanes.
I'll tell you this. If Florida makes it again and they wind up winning it, it'd be 3 years in a row where they make the finals and then back-to-back cups. I mean, you'd be having to talk. You'd have to have a conversation about, because, I mean, obviously there's been teams that have won four in a row, like the Islanders did. I think Edmonton won, did the same thing. You would have to be talking about one of the great runs this sports scene, because the hockey playoffs are so difficult to go back-to-back. And that's why, you know, even the Stars making it to conference finals and back-to-back years and stuff is impressive. And if they do a third straight year, how impressive that would be. This doesn't happen.
All right, so before the Jerry Jones interview yesterday, this easily was the audio of the week, and we had to get to it. This is former NBA coach Sam Mitchell on the NBA TV set with Chris Miles. Chris Miles is the host, and they start going back and forth. Is there any other setup I need to this? They're talking about the Olympics and getting medals, and I guess coaches don't get medals? That's
strange.
That's weird. That's ridiculous. Give the coaches the medals. And they were kind of talking about this, and the back and forth took a bad, bad turn.
Not at all.
I'm surprised.
How do coaches don't get a gold medal?
I'm surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think, like, maybe you should do this pro bono, my friend.
You know, last time I looked at my check, it's pretty close. So, hey, I'm taking donations. Why don't you come up off some of that money you got since you're over there bragging about it?
I'm not bragging about
it. Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you rent your beach house out down in Florida during the hurricane? Or do I need to go on? How about your townhouse over in Buckhead?
Hey, what's going on here, Sam?
You want to call me out? I mean, come on.
I think
you screaming broke and hungry. Let's just see it. You know, I know what you have and where you live, young fella, so you need to stop.
I think we have snitches on the show today.
No, we don't have snitches. We have truth tellers.
Mitchell.
We have truth tellers. So you're the one who crying poor and destitute up here when... Do I need to keep going on further, more and more? Or do you want me to stop right now?
Go to this game between the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors.
You're going
to
stop messing with me on national TV. I done told you about that. Hey, do I need to give out the address? Because you're not at home right now.
Look at this. A game in Seattle,
yes.
Sam.
Oh, God.
So awkward.
Holy cow. Holy cow. So then... They
got to be close, right? They got to have a great relationship for him to go down that road.
I don't know.
Do they?
Then they go to the game action, and Sam Mitchell, I think he actually drops this guy's home address.
Warriors rich in history of championships and now an Olympic gold medal.
68 North Point Drive, Sandestin, Florida, huh? What? You had the pool put in yet?
I think that's your house.
No, that's your house, Chris. Oh, that's your rental property house.
There we go. All right, Warriors.
Boy, this game can't tip fast enough.
We'll be back at halftime and after the game as well.
You got the pool put in yet?
Yeah, the pool put in. Yeah, he was looking at the Google image.
All right, first off, Chris Miles, like, he rolls this deep. Like, he's a real estate mogul. I've never heard of this guy until, like, the finals last year. I thought Sam Mitchell was going to get fired or at least suspended for this. They do this weird, awkward video the next day. This Chris Miles dude goes up to Sam's house recording video and, like, knocks on the door, and it's like, hey, people think we have beef. No, I want to know if I can go to the beach house. Painfully awkward. You're never going to convince me that was not 1,000,000% real and that there's tension, and I'm surprised. And, man, Sam Mitchell, I don't know the history of this guy taking digs at Sam, how much he screwed with him, but just off that audio alone, Sam Mitchell looks really, really bad and petty.
So it seems like to me that Sam Mitchell has felt before, like, all right, you've kind of like, the way you've handled yourself here has been disrespectful to me. Like, just, and maybe it's not even intentional. It may just be perceived disrespect of like, hey, you need to address me. Don't joke with me like that. We're not like that. That's how it seemed. And then I was trying to figure out, what did he mean when he said, I think coaches should do this show pro bono. Was he taking a shot at him? Or was he saying, like, not giving somebody a gold medal for coaching is just as ridiculous as asking you to do this show for free? I couldn't tell what it was.
What about the rental during the hurricane?
Yeah.
What was that about?
I think he was just trying to say, like, listen to all these details I know about what you were trying to rent out your house around the hurricane. Or, like, I think he was trying to just dive into all this stuff. But, I mean, he very clearly was, he's like, all right, I'm tired of this. I'm going to sun you, and you're going to, we're not going to, this will be uncomfortable for you for a few minutes. It reminded me on a much smaller scale. You know what this reminded me of? When we're in the breaks and I say, Chop, if you unblock that number again, I'm going to read it on the air.
Wow. Sam.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So that was the audio of the week before Jerry yesterday. Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
It is all starting to make a little sense now with the Diddy situation. I don't know where to begin, but
I've seen Kanye thrown into this.
Yeah. So apparently a new lawsuit claims a 19-year-old female college student, an unnamed male, another unidentified man, and another female all claim to have been assaulted in a sexual form by Diddy. The woman claims he invited her to a photo shoot in 04, then to his hotel room where she was taken to a separate room off from the main party, and she was told, you know what you're here for. The door was locked by Diddy, and Diddy threatened to have them both killed if she did not do as he was asked. Another alleged victim, a man, says he was drugged and assaulted by Diddy in a van outside of the white party in 2006. In another document, another male accuses him of aggravated sexual assault in a Macy's department store stockroom in 2008. They threatened to kill him if he did not cooperate. There's more.
The amount of charges on this going to make Deshaun Watson's look like a solo jaywalking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
With the amount of people on this.
Yeah.
Former assistants. Everyone now feels like they can talk since he's locked up and maybe not getting out.
Yeah. We may never, ever, ever hear from him again. You might not. But also, and people are bringing this up because this happened about a year ago where Diddy just gave his artists their catalogs back. Right. The company Bad Boy owned the rights. Not maybe not even Bad Boy anymore, but they own the rights to the music. And this is the whole thing where Taylor Swift would re-release her old songs.
Because she couldn't get it back from Scooter Braun.
She couldn't get it back. So she re-released them under Taylor's version, which I don't even know if there was anything that was done differently at all to the song.
Slight production tweaks. Yeah, you can tell it's a different song.
So, but that was her way of getting her catalog back. Well, Diddy just gave these back. He could have sold these for millions and millions and millions of dollars. But now we kind of know the reason why. And the reports are saying that he was giving this catalog back to all these artists and making them sign NDAs saying, you cannot speak bad of myself or the record label.
You also keep reading and hearing about this rite of passage that Diddy told all the new artists, like, hey, we gotta mess around. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it happened for me. That's the way it's going to happen for you. That's what you read, allegedly.
That's exactly what you read. It's disgusting.
I mean, 50 Cent had talked about that he'd said that when he had started out that Diddy would tell him, like, hey, I need to go take you clothes shop. And he said he had to tell Diddy, he's like, you need to get away from me. You need to walk away. He's like, you don't say that to me.
And ever. The Mike Tyson on the couch interview where Tyson, like, while talking on the late night show, takes Diddy's hand apparently, like, moves it over there.
Oh, yeah.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? This is the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, and the Mets and Yankees are both in the playoffs, and he is seen wearing this hat, and it's got the New York Mets logo and a little, like, a times kind of thing or a plus sign, and it has the Yankees logo. And he is getting destroyed for doing this.
This is the sports equivalent of the coexist bumper sticker. Like, stop it.
what city could this work in? It definitely ain't going to work in New York. They're like, be a hardcore sports fan, pick a side. That's soft.
Rams, Chargers. You can do that in L.A.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet you can.
Man, every New York official gets in trouble.
They do. They all do. They step in it. They really do.
Libs.
Do you know who Jack Doherty is?
No.
Yes.
No.
YouTuber. Big YouTube guy.
Pepe wins one over with us on pop culture.
So,
how old are Sean and RJ?
He was out there, and he's got a billion followers, and he was shown on the highway during a rainstorm driving his McLaren.
Oh, I did see this, yeah.
And I don't think he purposely wrecked it, but he wrecked it. Well, this guy's got money beyond belief. And he had the guts. And he's profiting off this wreck of his McLaren. He is now asking for donations to buy himself a new McLaren. And he is getting absolutely roasted for this on social media. And he is one of the kids. This is the most, like...
It's so annoying.
If you're a 16-year-old kid, he gets a punchable face.
Yes.
If you're another 16-year-old.
And he's getting crushed for, like, his buddy...
Is he going to get the money?
Oh, yeah. They absolutely will give him the money.
I don't know. There was a lot of people saying that the recording, how reckless he was driving, and his buddy comes out of this car, just blood pouring down his face.
Yes.
And he's like, my car.
Yeah, with the phone up.
He's awful.
Yeah.
This dude is awful. This is the first I've known of his existence, and he's a POS.
All right, literal abbreviated edition because of all the Jerry chaos of chopping it up every hump day.
Hump day.
Hump day. Here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We have a subject for below the belt that Bobby wants to do about, you know, Travis Hunter breaking the NFL mold. But I just had, in the last commercial break, my Dallas Cowboy heart broken, not once, but twice. And we have the audio to go along with it next on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is the king of petty about to get a little petty himself? More on that in just a second. This is Below the Belt, presented by A1 Air. But we got to get to the most important audio of the day. I think the most relevant issue of the day. And yeah, Jerry Jones, it's a big story, whatever else. I know there were a bunch of trades in the NFL yesterday, but...
Did you think that Jerry in that last segment was going to call in? Did you think the hotline was going to ring?
I didn't. I did at one point. You were communicating with Peyton on like a cut at the end of the expressway where I saw your face and I just shut up talking because I thought you were being told somebody was on the phone. So I had to stop. But no, this is the most important audio of the day by far. I was alerted to this. This is Get Up this morning. Mike Greenberg, friend of the show, or tried to be. I guess we didn't actually book it. But Mike Greenberg was on Get Up this morning and was just resetting the topic and... Hey, we got some name credit. It wasn't just the name of the show. He ran through everybody's name. He identified all of us. Peyton, can you play it real quick?
Jerry Jones got heated during his weekly radio appearance on 105.3 The Fan after being asked if his team's lack of aggressiveness in the offseason played a part in their 3-3 start. The Cowboys owner even appeared, I'm not even sure it's appeared, clearly threatened the jobs of the hosts of the show. So the hosts of the show are, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Shan Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt.
Well, you got our names right, Chop.
I mean, that's not hard. I got two letters.
Do the producers at ESPN not tell these guys how to pronounce it? Like, it should be that easy, right? So someone's got to be in trouble here.
Man, WFA butchered it yesterday. Oh. That's why I untweeted my Mike Leslie.
Didn't they also mess up... Garrett Nussmeier, though, recently, Chop.
Nussmeier.
They're saying Nussmeier for the whole broadcast.
That one stung. He got both. He butchered both.
Yeah. If you get Sean wrong, well, I understand. Understandable. The Sharif part, that's a pretty common last name. There's a guy in the NFL named Sharif Floyd.
Yeah, that one's a little bit more egregious. I'm curious, Sean.
That started my hate for Mike Greenberg.
By Shan Sharif.
I snuck into Bristol, Connecticut, ESPN Studios, and in my hand is my way to try to buy myself up the radio ladder. I had two passes from my parents' bed and breakfast, and I gave one to Mike Golick, and I gave one to Mike Greenberg. And if I remember correctly, or the way my mind wants to remember it, I think within 5 minutes, maybe the Greenberg invite may have gone in the trash. I don't know.
Oh.
It could have been gone, but Howie gets all the jobs at ESPN. I just don't like the delivery style. He was offered up to come on our show. Y'all can maybe do that when I'm out for one of the days, but this just adds to the list.
Yeah. Jan just ripped our video.
I am curious.
McAfee's the only one who didn't talk about this yesterday.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, on or off the air. Did you ever, because of the people getting your name wrong so often, did you ever consider the radio name?
No. TV station told me I had to change it, and I was like, F off.
Oprah Winfrey, her first job, they told her you needed to change your name. They said Oprah wasn't a memorable name.
Well, look, mine was like, memorable. I get it. Like, it was around the time of 9/11. Okay. I was driving from American University to Channel 47 in Salisbury, Maryland.
Walked in and said, Buenos dias.
And they're like, yeah, maybe you should change this. And I was like, no, screw off.
No,
it is what it is.
My dad, Sheriff. My dad's first radio name was Bud Light.
Are you for real?
I'm dead serious. Oh, that's '80s. That's '80s top 40 radio name.
Kid Rock got him canceled too.
Bud Light.
Look, I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised you never just for the radio purposes added like a W.
My brother like did from Yusuf to like Joseph or Jason. Yeah, like whenever I think about my name, I'm like my poor brother Yusuf. Y-U-S-U-F. And this next story, I'm not upset about the Greenberg thing. It's funny. This next one is upsetting. My brother is going to have his heart broken. RJ Choppy, in the last commercial break, just told us that he has been invited. Bassick said Rich Eisen pronounced your name wrong, too.
He did.
Thanks, Mike. Choppy just told us that he has been invited at 10:20 our time today to go on the Dan Patrick Show.
Whoa! Wow! I didn't know you were that tied into Texas politics.
I know. You know, I don't know where Ken is going to be. He's going
to
be around
there.
State
Fair packing, yeah. Clearly.
So, I mean, I'm excited to talk. You know, how we can make changes to the state.
RJ didn't even look at me and hesitate and be like, "I saw you tweet yesterday. This is your radio idol." Or your interview idol. He didn't even... He goes, what should I say back? And I was like, I'll try to get the clearance for you. This hurts me big time. This hurts. I did the legwork in years past to talk to Todd Fritz, their booking guy, to get Dan on our show. I tweeted yesterday. I tweeted, this is my interviewing idol. And Stone Cold Choppy didn't even... And how did Choppy get asked to go on their show? What the hell is going on? They don't know I have a vasectomy right after the program. And yesterday, Dan even commented on what happened between us and Jerry.
Jerry loves to go on these shows and talk. And so, I mean, I applaud the host if you're asking questions. That's what your job is. Instead, like Jerry just threatened their jobs because they were doing their jobs. Like, how dare you question me? I don't think they're questioning maybe the totality of your ownership. They're talking about the offseason when you told everybody you were all in. They did a terrible job in the offseason. At least tell us, are the host allowed to be professional? Or why don't you just submit questions to them, Jerry, if that's how you want it to be? They're asking the questions that Cowboy fans have and getting testy and threatening their jobs. I'm not kidding. Okay.
I love him. He's always been one of my absolute favorites.
He's the greatest interviewer.
Oh,
in my opinion, it's the 1C. Corey Majors is nodding. When you go on there and my brother sees that, he's going to have his day ruined. Look at your smile.
What your brother's going to have his day ruined?
Oh, this is radio idol. This is childhood stuff. This is growing up. Like, you're finally going to go on the Dan Patrick Show. And when he sees RJ Choppy on there, he's going to lose his damn mind.
I don't know. I think she likes me more than you. So
it could be true.
I don't know.
That might be right.
When he introduces you, will you go, RJ Choppy, 5'9", 215?
Yeah.
Ding.
5'9"?
I mean, come on. You were 5'10 and a half, and then you've lost a couple vertebrae, it looks like, over the years.
Yeah, definitely lost a vertebrae or two.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think...
I've always been spineless.
This one hurts.
Is he enough of an idol of your brother's that do you think if you were to go on the Dan Patrick Show and Dan Patrick were to say, hey, look, I understand you've got a brother, there's been some tension... If you're listening,
me and my brother,
we're
better.
I'd like you to just...
He's giving me vasectomy advice.
I'd like you to just do whatever Sean asks of you moving forward. If you could do that for me, that'd be great. Do you think that would be enough for him to be like, oh, okay. Like, would he just like
Oh, my brother?
Yeah.
He might. He might, but that is RJ Choppy 1020 Dan Patrick Show. That one hurts.
That's pretty tough. Let's talk about Petty.
It'd be like if Russo invited me on and I didn't offer it up to you.
That's right.
And I went on and did Russo, who you grew up listening to and loving. That's what the equivalent would be.
That's a great point.
I know. That's why I should be the guest.
Would you like to go on?
I can't. I can't.
Right. You've got.
I can't.
You'll be in pre-op.
You'll work from the waist up. You can hold a phone.
Yeah. What if I did it from the vasectomy chair?
That would be
pretty great. And if you said, Dan, I wanted to come on here so much that I'm literally in an OR right now. You know, that'd be great.
10-20, green light, good to go.
Green light.
All right, so this is a really fascinating note from Jeff Duncan over at the Times. I was Picayune. Is that what we're going to say?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Or NOLA.com. Jeff Duncan, this weekend, they are going to, you've got the return of Sean Payton to the Superdome. The Broncos are going to go play the Saints in New Orleans. And coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, Drew Brees is being inducted into their team Ring of Honor, or their team Hall of Fame, or whatever it is. Part of this was about, Sean Payton's here. This is all a full circle moment. But he's getting inducted at halftime. Sean Payton's going to be in the locker. It's not like he can come out and do anything. But apparently a little bit more related to Drew Brees' schedule and when he coaches his kids and why this game was going to work out for him. New Orleans Saints officials, apparently, according to Jeff Duncan, are so bitter still at Sean Payton for the way he just was like, it's time to move on to a new chapter, and then goes off and gets another head coaching job. They are so bitter about this that there were Saints officials that tried to convince Drew Brees to move off of that date because they're like, we do not want Sean Payton involved or anywhere near the day where we're honoring you.
What?
Wow.
I thought that him and who's the GM there?
Mickey Loomis?
Yeah, I thought they were tight.
Things a little cold after he kind of abruptly quit. And so a lot of Saints officials were pushing back on it. It wasn't unanimous, but there were some that were like, no, this is, you're revered in this city, Sean Payton. There's still some hurt feelings, even though apparently Sean Payton, this article says he still lives in New Orleans. Like he lives in the Marriott in New Orleans and is still out there.
Is it possible that the Saints wanted to just separate the days? Like we got Payton's return and then that's what Jerry would do. He probably separated it out, you know, and then let's do Brees on another day.
Yeah. Potentially, but it definitely was we don't want it to overshadow, but it was more like we don't want his story at all blending with yours.
Well, look, Brees has to have the final say in that. That's the right thing to do. And Drew Brees to Sean Payton is like Steve Nash to Mike D'Antoni. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
He was the brainchild, right? Payton was the brain. And Drew was his perfect robot to go out.
If you talk to some folks in New Orleans, though, they'll also tell you, there's a little bit of undercover, underreported discussion about some tension between those two as well.
Brees and Payton? Mm-hmm. Well, not enough.
Yeah, I mean, the golden handcuffs of the salary cap will limit some of what your tension can do.
Below
the belt.
Right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. For now. 105.3 The Fan. All right, let's get back to addressing this seriously. Round 4 of the morning show.
Ding, 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 ding.
Where do we go from here with Jerry? Next on the Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day.